In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be turning to the subject of worthily receiving the Lord's Supper. That's actually the subject of an entire section of our Issues Etc. book of the month for March called Lutheranism 101, The Lord's Supper. It deals near the end of the book with worthy reception of the Lord's Supper. And it's always best to follow the cue of Holy Scripture and the Lutheran confessions when presenting the Lutheran teaching here. And that's precisely what Lutheranism 101, the Lord's Supper, does. You can find out more about this resource at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Lutheranism 101, the Lord's Supper, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. So, in medieval Roman Catholicism, it was a complicated thing. The Lord's Supper, you approached cautiously. You were concerned about it, and there was a lot of preparation to be made. A lot of it was bodily preparation, fasting, praying, making sure you were just right and just ready. Now, is that what makes one worthy? Is that something we simply throw out? What makes one worthy to receive the Lord's Supper? Pastor Matthew Rickert joins us. He's pastor of Gloria Dei Lutheran Church in Escondido, California. Pastor Richard, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
The 16th century reformer Martin Luther takes up the question of worthy reception or who receives it worthily. And it's kind of odd that, to at least to our way of thinking about it, the first thing he talks about is, I believe, fasting and outward bodily preparation. Why does Luther begin there?
Well, in a sense, he kind of ends there. It's the fifth and final question underneath the sixth chief part, the sacrament of the altar. So in that sense, he's ending up there, but still leading off the answer by talking about fasting. My guess is that there was a real emphasis on the outward preparation, such as fasting, other things possibly too. He wanted to say, all of that is good in its place, but there's something more important, namely faith, in the words, given and shed for you.
So for Luther, it is not so much about one's personal preparation, maybe that's how we'd put it today, but about the Word of God?
Well, I would answer and say it's a law-gospel thing going on, again, in this fifth and final a question and answer. He has something quite strong to say about fasting and bodily preparation. There's certainly a fine outward training. So he's definitely not saying, let's not do these things. He's saying, let's keep them in their place. They have a role to play, but let's not lose sight of the more important thing, namely faith and Christ.
So let's talk a little bit about the fasting that would be proper here if we don't want to toss it out and we don't want to make it the thing rather than faith. What is the proper place of preparation, we'd say outward bodily preparation and fasting for the Lord's Supper?
Let me back up just a step and say I think the tendency today among us sometimes is to make the more important thing or the most important thing the only thing. And I think that's kind of a mistake. Luther's on top of that here. He was always very good at balance, namely saying that there's something that is the most important, faith and Christ in the sacrament, but let's not lose sight of good outward preparation. So what I tried to do in my preaching this Lent, giving this sermon multiple times, is talk about the principle involved there, the importance of bodily preparation, and then give some concrete examples. I give five examples, but maybe I can say just a word about a couple of the principles involved. So to say it just one more time, we don't want to miss this advice that fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. Yet, I want to be clear, it's not a law or a command, but falls rather, I would say, under pious practice among Christians. Just an excellent idea. That's what Luther is really saying here. Because it helps build, for example, self-control. Fasting helps to develop self-control, something we need very much in a very permissive time, the ninth and final fruit of the Spirit. And I think the bigger point might be that physical preparation for communion can help us to focus on the real spiritual significance. Luther says in the Large Catechism, for example, fasting and prayer and the like may have their place as an external preparation and children's exercise so that one's body may behave properly and reverently toward the body and blood of Christ. So that's kind of the principle involved. And if you'd like, I can give some of the examples that I give in this sermon.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. I give four examples of maybe bodily preparation and one concrete suggestion for fasting. Let me quickly work through them. The first one is called early in on Saturday night. I'm just encouraging Christians not to be out late at all on Saturday night. I like to say you've got a big date in the morning with Christ, hearing his word and receiving the sacrament. So you're at home. You're not out late Saturday night. You're at home getting ready, both inside and out. Number two, I call wash behind your ears, taking time Saturday night, in the case of children perhaps, and Sunday morning for most of us adults to really get cleaned up physically on the outside. This is something I learned as a little boy. You know, Saturday night, and a lot of people might have had the same experience, was always bath night at home for me. Got my nails clipped, got to splash on some of Dad's aftershave at the end of it all, and it was teaching me about what was coming up the next morning. So I call that one washing behind your ears. How about a third one here, best dress, I call it, your Sunday best. And I'm very careful here not to get sort of legalistic and make a dress code, but simply wearing your best clothing to church on Sunday morning. After all, it's the day of resurrection, the Lord's Day. You're showing your kind of preparation and love toward him in that way. Out here in SoCal, Southern California, that might well mean your best pair of flip-flops, to be honest with you. So it kind of depends where you are, but it's something in the heart in terms of dressing your personal best. Fourth idea here, kind of goes without saying, but I think I need to bring it up, is brush your teeth before receiving communion. Again, just shows preparation and love and a readiness. You wouldn't want to take your bubble gum out like a minute before going up to the rail and receiving the Holy Sacrament. So a little more preparation, preparing your mouth to receive Christ himself. And the fifth one here we talk about in this sermon is actually a way to fast, to do a little bit of fasting. I call it making the supper your breakfast, your break fast. If you skip breakfast at home, your cereal, your oatmeal, whatever, on Sunday morning, you end up breaking that fast then with the body and blood of Jesus, sort of turning the supper into the true breakfast. What I like about this idea is, yeah, it does teach self-control. It helps with repentance and a focus on God. But it also makes the sacrament, your very first food of the week. Because think about it, Sunday is the first day of the week, and the first food going into you is none other than the sacrament. So kind of a beautiful thought there of making the sacrament your first food of the new week. But I always stress that people should only do this kind of fasting, Sunday morning and other times, health permitting, and maybe try it one Sunday a month at first, see how it goes.
So really the focus of all this, and that seems to be kind of the primary emphasis, is to focus one's mind, heart, even one's body toward the importance of receiving Christ's body and blood.
Exactly. I think for Luther, he begins with fasting and bodily preparation. He wants to say that's important. Let's not, you know, throw that out. Let's hang on to that. It has a role to play, but let's move on to the more important thing. But I think before we do that, if I could add one more thing that kind of brings the gospel into this, fasting and bodily preparation, is after I made this little list of ideas for preparing your body and doing some fasting, I got to thinking almost all of these are things that people do when they're in love with each other. You think about the way you dress to go out on a date. You might brush your teeth a little bit more. You get cleaned up. You're concerned about all that to be with the other person. And, you know, lovers even can lose their appetite out of this desire just to be with the other person. And I just really want to say that that's the spirit, the true Christian spirit of fasting and bodily preparation. We don't do these things as Christians and Lutherans because we must. We do them because we're in love with Christ and Christ with us. Right down to fasting a little bit in a more romantic sense, because we just want to be with Him. He's our food and our drink and nothing else. So even fasting and bodily preparation can be a real expression of faith and love.
Well, when we come back, we're going to continue with our conversation talking about receiving the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood worthily. Pastor Matthew Richert is our guest. He's pastor of Gloria Day Lutheran Church in Escondido, California. And it brings us to the main thing, to that in which true worthiness or worthy reception consists. And Luther is completely clear. He says, worthiness consists in faith in these words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. And Luther will even go on to say that these words, for you, require all hearts to believe. What does that mean? What is Luther saying about receiving the Lord's Supper worthily? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break, an hour or two of Issues, Etc. And after we conclude our conversation on worthy reception of the sacrament, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, president of the Ruth Institute, will be our guest. We'll get her reaction to Hillary Clinton's support for same-sex marriage. We'll be right back.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Teach us with thee to mourn our sins and close.
the Lenten hymn, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days, sung by the Chorale Ensembles of Concordia University, Portland, Oregon, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. By the way, here's what Celia, listening in Norway, had to say about Lutheran Public Radio. She said, Dear Lutheran Public Radio workers, I just wanted to thank you for running my favorite radio station. I work in an open plan office, and sometimes it can be a bit noisy. On loud days, I pick up my headphones and listen to Lutheran Public Radio while working. It's calming, inspiring, and encouraging. I love the music you play, and I feel a little closer to God and fellowship with all the saints when I listen to LPR. I especially love the fact that you broadcast 24/7. As I live in Norway, I mainly listen to the music you send during the American night. God blessings to you all. And she says, do you know what day it is? It's a great day to be a Lutheran. That's one of our listeners at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's absolutely free. It's worldwide, and it's 24/7. Sacred music for the world. We're talking about who receives the sacrament worthily. Pastor Matthew Richard is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 19th. He's pastor of Gloria Day Lutheran Church in Escondido, California. About 10 more minutes with him, then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us to talk about Hillary Clinton's support for same-sex marriage, and we'll round off Tuesday's afternoon with you talking about demons. Pastor Jared Melius will be our guest. Well, we've come to that part, Pastor Richard, that you have said is the important, the real important part, that in which true worthiness consists. Luther says it consists in faith in these words given and shed for you, and he says those words for you require all hearts to believe. What is Luther saying here?
Well, what I did with this is I noticed that faith is running through a lot of this part of the catechism. So I picked up on the fact that he singles out the two most important words for you. And I'm asking people as I go around giving this little Lenten message, what do you think are the most important words in the sacrament? Well, they're all really, really important. Don't want to lose even one of them. A lot of times for Lutherans, the key word is. This is my body, is my blood, and with good reason. I want to maintain the simple, true meaning of that word in the context of the sacrament. Other just heavenly words like body, blood, given, shed, and the forgiveness of sins, all of these things, hugely, hugely important. But I think you could make a case that the most important words, in a real sense, are the words for you. Because if you have on one side all of those other things, but you're on the other side, they have nothing to do with you, what good is all of it to you? As heavenly as it continues to be. But God is saying all of these things, you know, the is and the forgiveness and the body and the blood and given and shed, it's all for you. I think it's the difference between $1 million and $1 million in your bank account. That's what's going on in the two little words, the most important words in the sacrament, for you.
Is this why Luther will at many times refer to the Lord's Supper, as he's described it here, as the gospel itself?
Yes, and even the words for you, the gospel itself. That's where contact is made with us poor sinners.
People might wonder at the words that Luther lays there. He says, in his explanation to these things, if anyone does not believe these words or doubts them, they're unworthy and unprepared. And they might be a little concerned. They say, Pastor Richard, look, I believe what Jesus says. I hear those words. But, you know, everyone has the kind of rational doubts that appear when such a miracle is occurring. Is that what Luther's talking about, the natural doubts that all of us have in hearing Christ's words?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. Those doubts, they persist, but on the other side is faith and the clear word of God here. We believe in those words despite our feelings and doubts sometimes.
So put the two together, if you could, Pastor Richard. The two things that Luther says, they're both important. One is obviously most important, but fasting and faith. How do the two go together, not only with respect to the Lord's Supper, but in the Christian life?
Well, in a law gospel kind of way, I simply stuck with the way Luther does it. The things we do in terms of fasting and bodily preparation are just simply important. They're good things to do. I've always felt that Luther's genius was in knowing the difference between the baby and the bathwater and not getting rid of both. He was so conservative in this regard. He looks here and he sees a true pious practice. But when it became perhaps the main thing, people were focused so much on that, they were missing the other. That's when it went too far. So he finds the perfect balance here and begins with the one. And I just want to say again that maybe the mistake would be to say, well, fasting and bodily preparation aren't really important at all. That's what Luther's saying. No, he's definitely not saying that. So I'm spending the first 10, 15 minutes of this Lenten message kind of getting us back to thinking about things like fasting and other forms of bodily preparation. But then I'll pause and say, but now the more important thing, indeed the most important thing, is faith in these words, faith in Christ and receiving these gifts in the sacrament. I could give examples of how this runs in other parts of the Christian life as well, but today I'm sort of focused on the sacrament of the altar.
We are approaching Holy Week here, and at the end of Holy Week, there will be a time that Christians have traditionally practiced this kind of fast. Some of them even from the Lord's Supper of Maundy Thursday until the Lord's Supper of perhaps the Easter Vigil or Easter Sunday morning. Actually pretty extensive, at least for us today, a pretty extensive fast. What are your thoughts on there?
Well, we would be kind of copying the disciples. One point I really wanted to make today, and if I can just take a minute or two to do it, I'll totally answer your question, if that's okay. A lot of people don't know what it says in St. Mark chapter 2, verses 18, 19, and 20. It actually points out that the disciples of Jesus did not fast. I want to repeat that. They did not fast, whereas other disciples of John and the Pharisees did. And people wanted to know why this was. And Jesus gives the most beautiful answer. He says, well, how could they fast when the bridegroom is with them? But I tell you this, the day is coming when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So, pun intended here, fast forward to Maundy Thursday, like you're talking about, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the bridegroom is taken away from the disciples. And nobody has ever gone through that kind of experience before or since or ever will. That was a one-time thing. I got to thinking, they must not have eaten a thing from the time of his arrest to maybe seeing him again on the first Easter. I really doubt that they ate much of anything or drank much of anything. I'm really surprised they all didn't die for their grief of having Christ taken away from them in his arrest and suffering and death and so forth. What this would mean then, and here comes a beautiful thought, is that the last food they ate would have been his body and his blood in the sacrament on Maundy Thursday, late on Thursday. So even though the bridegroom was taken away from them, through his arrest and suffering and death, in a very real sense, maybe the more true sense, he was not taken away from them. Because who was on the inside of each and every one of them? Christ himself in flesh and blood, sustaining them through those awful hours. And it wasn't pretty. Look at Peter, it wasn't pretty. Some of the others, but they made it through. And this is why I believe that Christ gave them the sacrament the night before his suffering and death, on which the sacrament is, after all, predicated. So why give it to them beforehand? Well, to see them through, and that's exactly what it did. It sustained them all the way through. In just the same way, it sustains us and sees us through the most difficult days of our lives as well. So I think if people choose to fast from Maundy Thursday through to Easter, they're kind of copying the first disciples.
Then with only 1 minute here, Pastor Richard, just so that we understand, this isn't just following their example. We're receiving the same Christ, the same body and blood that they received. It will see us through as well?
All the way. All the way. So we always end the sacrament by saying, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. That means this coming week. That means all the way to the end.
Pastor Matthew Richard is pastor of Gloria Day Lutheran Church in Escondido, California. Pastor Richard, thank you very much for your time.
You're very much welcome. Blessed Lent and peace of Christ.
When we come back, we'll take up the subject of Hillary Clinton's support for same-sex marriage. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Higher Things assists in cultivating, encouraging, and promoting a distinctively Lutheran identity among their youth and young adults. To fulfill this mission, this summer, Higher Things has 3 conferences. You can find out more about these conferences at fromabove2013.org. The winter issue of Higher Things magazine is now available. This is a topical issue on church and state that you can read in its entirety on our website, higherthings.org.
We, the saints at St. Athanasius Lutheran Church, wish all lovers of the unshackled art of music unceasing grace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Since the beginning, the church has spoken by her sacred hymns. Now is your chance to contribute to the great voice of the communion of saints throughout history with the St. Ambrose Hymn Writing Contest. Render your contribution to this great corpus of song. For more information, visit clamavi.com. That's C-L-A-M-A-V-I.com.